Greetings, and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Susan Downs, member of the club's Health and Medicine member-led forum and the chair of this program. Now it is my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Dr. Robert Marshall. Formerly trained in mathematics and chemistry, he began his career in operations research working for a chemical company tasked to optimize production. However, he took ill with a parasitic infection which altered the whole course of his career. He was driven by his training to search nutrition to find a cure. It took years, but not only did he find a cure, he gained extraordinary knowledge of how the body works. Along the way, he developed the nutrition, health, and activity profile, which is computerized service for practitioners. In turn, they began sending him difficult cases, which led to the birth of a clinical nutritional practice. It continues to this day, and now there's a six-month waiting list. Along with his career, he was poisoned with genetically modified tryptophan back in 1988, around then. The settlement from this issue, he was the only survivor, by the way. The settlement of this issue made possible the birth of the Premier Research Laboratories Food Supplement Company, of which he's the CEO. This poisoning birthed the quantum reflex analysis, which is a technique that also saved his life. In fact, he's the only survivor of the 128 people who experienced eosinophilia myalgia from the tainted tryptophan. And here he is today. Now, okay, so here he is.
I guess I should do this up here formally. And thank you all for having me, and welcome to a little visit in my world. Today, we're going to talk about what looks like it could be boring, but it isn't going to be boring. It's going to be a life changer, if you're able, if you're willing. I didn't come here today for me. I came here for you, and I came here so that you could have a new universe of choices. Before I get into those choices, though, I'd like you to tell you a little bit about a life changer for me. 2 years ago, I was preparing for an advanced seminar for practitioners, and I was doing my YouTube addiction, where you sit there until you have to urinate so bad you get up, which is usually about 5 hours. And that's the only clock. Now I set a timer to limit my addiction. But at the time, I came across a video of a 163-year-old man. And when I saw the video, my first response was, I'm not sure this is true. Then I managed to cull two other videos about this group of people in the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. And I then began to intensely study the video. Because here's this guy eating kefir. Okay. But it's no kefir like I ever saw. The guy doesn't have a stove. He doesn't have a refrigerator. He has a shack and a horse. So I watched this video maybe 20, 25 times. And I see that the kefir has spots in it. So then I start to intensely read about these people because here I am, a biochemist. Here I've spent 40 years studying it, and I don't think this body or any of you are going to make to 163 unless we learn something from this old guy who looked about 65, 70, by the way. He did not look wasted, okay? And he could walk freely. So I find that they have two herbs that they eat all the time. And one of them is snow rose, and one of them is agrimony. So when I studied the heck out of his kefir, I realized the specks are an herb, agrimony. So this guy isn't heating his kefir. He's not got garbage kefir like we do. See, when we heat the kefir, they tell you, you got to boil this stuff, you know. So now what are you going to have? Heat shock proteins, denatured protein, cross-linked sugars, and damaged fats. Oh, yes, and now we're going to give you a little beneficial bacteria. How sweet of you. Okay, what's this guy got? Raw milk, puts an herb in it that suppresses the potential pathogens, and then throws it in a saddlebag on his horse. So there's his warmer. And then the stuff sits on the counter until he finishes eating it. No stove, no refrigerator, nothing. Okay? This little visit with this guy has totally, totally changed my life. And I think if you will consider it, it could really, really change your life as well. You know, life's about choices. And there's no question, you get a gene deck. But after that, it's up to you. And you know, if you study any of the ancient texts, like the Hindu texts, which are so interesting since they're so old, they tell you that once there was an era when food was optional. Wow. First time I read that, I thought this was nonsense. I laughed. I no longer think that. And I think there's a great deal that we've missed. But one of the things we're doing in the way we prepare this food is accelerating our aging and putting a nail in our coffin every time we sit down to a meal. And the funny part is it tastes good, it smells good. Man, it's one of the best deceptions going. So let's get into what can we do and how should we be fueling this magnificent machine you've been given. And I do feel that we're on the crest of a new horizon in looking at food and in looking at our own behavior. And the reason I say that is that there's a new science, epigenetics, and it's showing you, if you're eating that cooked food, man, you're expressing all these bad genes and you're demethylating. Okay, and so now we've got a new distraction for you. We've got singlet nucleotide polymorphism snippets. So now we're going to go and spend 20 years dancing with the DNA. But this 163-year-old guy doesn't even know the difference, really, probably between his ass and his elbow, and he lived to 163. So, wow, we need to take a step back, and we need to have a macro view of our food, and then a little micro view. Now, this is going to be a tough ride for the next 45 minutes because there's so many things wrong. But there has to be. Look around. Everybody you know has got something wrong with them. So if we knew what to do and we had the right food, do you think we'd all be losing bone? We'd all be weak? We'd all need glasses? We'd all need all of these things that are going on? You become what you eat. No question about it. You take two identical twins, so gene deck is identical, and now we separate them. They don't even look the same. Separate them for 20 or 30 years because they'll change food habits and behavioral habits, and they'll express different genetics. Okay? So you are what you eat. All right, now I've got to figure out how to advance this without my little Fong Dong, so just a minute here. And this is a brand new. I think this, it's got something up here. Wait a minute. Okay. So one of the first things we have to think about is the primary food constituents. And, you know, we're very proud of ourselves. I went to Purdue, and we're very proud that we know that food, the macronutrients, we know all about them. And we have thought we've known all about this for a long time. And epigenetics is telling us, no, you don't know about this. So these primary constituents of food, protein. And see, the interesting thing about protein is when you eat an animal or you eat a nut or you eat something, a fig, which has seeds, and seeds have every nutrient essential for life. So figs are one of the best foods going. So when you eat this thing, it's got its own little peptide dance, its own little chain of amino acids, the building blocks of the protein. It's got its own one, but that's not the one you need. So unless you can fracture that chain and then reassemble it the way you need it, you're going to age like a banshee. So if I take that protein and I cook the pea out of it, and when I say cook the pea out of it, I'll define that. That means I cook it over 212 degrees Fahrenheit. As soon as I do that, your body goes nuts when it sees that. There's a huge immune response, and 50% of that protein is no longer biologically available. It's now going to become stool, a load for you to carry from your mouth to your anus. Good luck. Okay? So, protein. Fiber. Well, we're always talking about fiber, and people think we're going to add some fiber to the food because we're eating white flour and white sugar. Well, guys, it tastes so good. But white flour and white sugar are make-believe foods. And if you've chosen make-believe food, the best you're going to have is make-believe health. But you're going to have worse. Since 1940, when we began this nonsense with enriching, okay, where we take a rock form of iron and a synthetic form of B1 and B2 and a couple other things, we throw it in and we say it's enriched. Boy, that's a lawyer's term. It's really good. You know, we're so good at doing this lawyer stuff. If you look through antiquity, you go all the way back to when Martin Luther protested the Catholic Church, and he was called a Protestant. But the lawyers got together, and he got a new name. He's a Protestant. Oh, that's nice, right? That doesn't sound like we had a big argument, does it? So everything is fixed. So now we take this crap, this white flour and white sugar, and we throw into it rock form of iron and chemical forms of B vitamins that the body really can't use very well. And we say, that's it. We fixed it. It's not fixed, guys. In fact, in 1940, when we started this nonsense, we had one person in 300,000 with iron poisoning at their liver, hemochromatosis. And you want to know, in 2005, CDC stopped reporting, but by then we had one person in 300, a 1,000-fold increase. Now, I can't prove to you it's the garbage iron, but if you watch, you go out on YouTube, there's a video out there on cornflakes, and this guy takes a box of cornflakes. This is a great video. He takes a box of cornflakes and empties it to a blender and adds water. Grinds it up really good so it's a slurry, and then he takes a magnet with iron sides the size of this anvil, and he runs it along the plastic thing and sucks up all the iron. And then he goes in with a white paper towel and picks it up. And it's iron shavings. It's iron filings. And you look at this, and he says, you know, you got to make up your own mind. Do you think you ought to eat this? So right now, we have in America an epidemic of people that have low serum iron. Okay, and I'm not going to do a lot of chemistry on you, but I'm going to do a little bit. We see all these people with low serum iron. And the medical doctor says, God, low serum iron? Eat some iron foods. So you eat the iron foods, nothing happens. So they give you a shot. And you get nauseated and sick, and still the iron stays down. Okay, now what's happening in the blood? Well, the iron is needed with phenylalanine to make tyrosine. And tyrosine is needed so you can have adequate thyroxine and adrenaline. So you're tired and you feel crappy. So now you get a thyroid prescription, and they don't give you the good stuff that has all the compounds. They give you Synthroid. Okay, well, you'll survive, but maybe you wish you didn't. And you won't die on that one. But now what about adrenaline? You're always dragging. You're going to have dry stool. You're going to have no energy. And you never think that it's that God-blessed box of cornflakes or that crappy white flour or that crappy white sugar that Mom gave you and it tastes so good. So I'm here to push on you a little bit, guys. And you may not like it. And you get to choose. You get to change or you don't change. That body is your gift. I would like you to view that body, though, as a loaner. And it's going to be loaned to you a lot shorter if you don't learn how to fuel it. But if it's a loaner, the best I can tell when somebody loaned me something, they expected something back. So in other words, I must be a steward of this body. So if I'm abusive, may not be good, okay? And if you're out there thinking you evolved, then You got to change brands of whatever you're smoking. There's no chance you could have evolved. There is no chance. It would be equal to the odds of a strong wind blowing through a junkyard forming a fully functional 747. That's the odds. So it's a super complicated body. And you can begin to see, and I don't have enough time to go in every one of these, but I think it's very critical that you know a little history and you realize that these are the players on the block: protein, fiber, fat, and of course we've tried to jam down your throat trans fats, and we yell and scream and tell you they're okay, but they aren't okay. They're terrible. And after 20, 30 years and a huge amount of cancer, we're finally withdrawing from the food. But don't worry, we've got another real scary one coming. I'll show you that in a little bit. And, of course, all the while, we're trying to tell you that you need lots of carbohydrate. And that is not true. In the early 1900s, we knew you needed a high-fat diet. And then along came a whole bunch of people who waved their hands and said, you really need a high-carbohydrate diet. And you'll see that shortly. And then, of course, we have two classes of minerals. They're macro and micro. The macro are so deficient that most people are low in minerals their entire life. And what does this mean to you as a person? It usually means overweight, sluggish, bones that are brittle and easily break. It just means a miserable quality of life, and definitely a shortened life. And we're going to talk a little bit about simple little tests you can do so that you can monitor your mineral status and you can take control of it. And, of course, there are micronutrients. And I'm just going to try to give you a quick picture of how to bring balance to the macronutriture. And when you do, what micronutriture would be missing? Okay? And so then we'll pick on those. Meanwhile, we've got to deal with an ever-escalating amount of chemotoxins in the food that are called POPs, persistent organic pollutants. Fortunately, there are some new high-tech things we can do to get rid of these, including the pesky GMO glyphosate. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Obviously, we must touch on our obsession with alcohol and the commonly occurring anti-nutrients that would be in the foods that you would choose to eat. So we're going to beat on some of this. So let's move ahead here, and let's see if I can do this without a screw-up. That'll be interesting. It's a new computer, so they just gave it to me. No, that doesn't do it. That doesn't do it. Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's see here. Okay. All right. So we've just talked a little bit about these players. We're going to talk more about them. Okay. That should work. All right. Oh, that's going the wrong way. Okay. So we've just touched a little bit on these, so I'm going to move away from that. So in 1920, roughly, the best science had to offer was a high-fat, low-carbohydrate, and moderate protein diet. Simple carbohydrate levels were very low at that time. Approximately 4 pounds of sugar was eaten per year per person, and now there's a 2,500% increase. And sugar, right behind alcohol, is the fastest way you can age. All right. So in the 70s, we began hearing the mantra of a low-fat diet. Nathan Pritikin was one, and it was a very, very low-fat diet. It induced many tremors and was a devastating diet. Okay? And he, you know, he passed away, and the diet sort of passed away. This approach really sort of ignored the idea that fats were essential. It's sad. And then around 1961, prior to Pritikin, was Ansel Keys, who had the idea of this diet and promoted various types of diets. And by 1975 and 6, the U.S., across the nation, all the universities embraced the low-fat, high-carbohydrate, and a moderate protein diet, literally unanimously endorsed this diet. Basically that. And, of course, this spawned the start of our national epidemic of obesity and diabetes. And clearly now we know it should be a high-fat diet with relatively low carbohydrates, especially simple carbohydrates, and little to no refined ones such as white flour and white sugar are make-believe foods. Okay, in the 80s, Walter Willett promoted the Mediterranean diet. This was another low-fat diet fabrication with no basis in reality. And this is very, very tragic, and these have been foisted on the American public for a long time. Next came trans-fat push in foods promoted by the big giants, because in a loaf of bread you could save a penny, and you had better preservation, better texture, so this was considered the way to go. However, the bubble began to burst in 1979 when Mary Enig did a study at University of Maryland, and she showed that there was an increased risk of cancer with trans fats above and beyond any other oil or fat that occurs in nature. Now, they tried to get her tenure bounced. They did all kinds of stuff to this lady, and they were just so unhappy with her. And as 20 years went by of giving us cancer, finally we begin to drum trans fats out. But we got another one coming for you guys, and this is esterification. And the safety is unknown, yet we're going to be doing this. Just the same mantra that we had with hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated or trans fats, the same thing. It's really tragic that FDA doesn't say, show me double-blind, placebo-controlled crossover studies that prove that these things are safe, and then we'll put it on the market. Instead, somehow, somebody waves their hands, and they get this stuff on the market. It's probably similar to how they got NutraSweet and aspartame on the market. Dick Cheney was the player there, and the placebo was MSG. And that's how they pulled it off. Okay? No additive in the history of FDA has had more adverse events than aspartame and these synthetic sweeteners. And it's very amusing. They say Diet Coke or Diet Coke, and it isn't. People typically will gain more weight on it than if they drank regular Coke. Okay, so there's a really great expose on what's happened with regard to fat and fats over the last century, and it's called The Big Fat Surprise, and it really reads well. It's written by a woman, Nina Techholz, and she's a New York Times writer, so it's a first-class book. And boy, does it vomit the intrigue and the exploitation that was done to sell trans fats and to make up a diet so you could be important and be in the literature. Very, very sad. That's her book right there, The Big Fat Surprise. Very well written. All right, so the thing to keep in mind is no diet can be effective without regard to food quality and food processing. So you need some simple modicum that will let you know, is this food really good? So if I'm going to go buy organic tomatoes and they're $5 a pound versus the trash one down in the supermarket that's 99 cents, am I going to get my bang for the buck for $5? Well, for $100, you can buy a little Brix meter. And you can just stick a little hole in that thing, squeeze out a little juice. The produce guys will love you. And you can get a Brix reading on it. And you can get a chart of ideal BRICS levels from an outfit called Acres USA, a great, great outfit. And this chart will give you an idea. And when you get food that's at ideal levels of BRICS, they cannot be grown with pesticides. So when you start getting a farmer that's really good, you can tell he's going to be worth $5 a pound. And I would urge all of you to begin a little garden. You have wonderful weather here. You have rain. You have everything you need. Oh, you haven't? Okay. Terrible. Well, I come up here and I was thinking, God, how neat this is. You got rain. Okay. Well, at least you have rain now. But a garden where there's no chemicals, a garden where there is no NPK, no synthetic fertilizers, this will allow the food to carry high mineral nutriture. That is one of the great secrets of all the long-lived people, but not just long-lived, healthy life. I mean, I really don't care if I die tomorrow, but as long as I live, I want every piece in the marbles. I want everything to work. I don't want to not be able to walk or not be able to run. If you can't, you know, it's sort of like you died, but you're just in, you're trapped in this mausoleum. So if you want it, you're going to have to work at it. It's not going to be easy. We've made a mess. We made a big mess. So this is a simple test. You can buy them for $100. It's not the German $1,000 one that'll give you 1/10 of a BRICS. Who gives a darn? If you're within one BRICS, that's plenty, okay? So we get carried away with things. You don't need precision. You need a tool to guide you. All right. So is the food conventional or organic? You've got to learn a lot here. If that food was organic from Bakersfield, it's garbage. And why is that? Because it's going to be grown on tap water. And that tap water, it's not me saying this. It's the Sacramento Bee, this comes right out of the legislature. They call the water that's shifting down agricultural urine. It has so much in the way of pesticide and herbicide. So if you grow organic on that, you didn't get anything for your buck. But northern San Diego County, where everything is on wells, now you got wonderful organic. So you need to take a look at, if you're going to buy organic, where'd you grow it? What water are you using? On a well? It's not enough to just give yourself the warm fuzzy that it says organic. It's not going to work. And organic is never going to be adequate. The BRICS will tell you, did you get your bang for the buck or not? Okay? All right. So now you're going to see we've got new fangdongs that we do to food. We've got high-pressure sterilization. So it doesn't say it was pasteurized or anything. My Lord, is that destroyed? Because you put hundreds, I'm not sure exactly how much, but many thousands of pounds of pressure on orange juice, okay? And now you don't need to pasteurize it or do anything else, and so it sounds pretty good. Wow, you've devastated the nutrients in this product. It's questionable whether it would be good compost. So we're doing all these new things. Meanwhile, we've got pasteurized and homogenized dairy products all over the place, even though almost 100 years ago, Weston Price took two cows. He did it maybe eight times. I think it was eight times. And he would take two cows, and he would take the one cow, the one calf, after the cow birthed two calves. He would take the one calf and pasteurize the milk. He didn't even homogenize it. And give that to one cow and give the milk directly from the mother to the other one. 100% of the time. 100% of the time, the calf getting the pasteurized milk was dead in 30 days. And that's what we feed us. Okay? So we need to make some changes. You need to take a look at this. And many people think that government wouldn't hurt me. Oh. Okay, when I hear that, I say, okay. So these are some of the things we've got to take a look at. I'm going the wrong way here. Okay. So what's the type of food? So now we get into a potpourri of issues with these types of foods, what may be wrong, what might be good, and what we can do. Okay? So I'm going to, for the sake of speed, I'm not going to go through each one here, but I will go through them in just a minute, because my job isn't to impress you that I know a lot of stuff. My job is, at the end of this talk, you know what to do. When I was a little kid, my dad would give me a book. He said, we're going to build a patio. And another time, we're going to build a garage. And he had to read this. And when it came time, he'd come to me and say, do you know what to do? And if I knew what to do, we had the most fun. And if I didn't, it was really, really, really bad. And what I'm going to tell you is, if you don't know what to do here, it's going to be really, really bad. Okay? It's going to be really bad. Okay. So the first thing we have to take a look at is general food preparation. So I gave you a little sneak peek at that by saying that the Swiss in 1919 and again in 1993 did a study which led to what they call the leukocytosis index. Leukocytes are just a white cell, and what they observed was that when you cooked food, and especially over the boiling point, that you elicited this exponential increase in leukocytes. So in other words, the body is saying, oh my God, what have you just done? Well, this was met with just raging anger, because the worst food was sausage. The Germans and the Swiss love sausage. So, of course, the guy that did it in 1919, they wanted to kill him. The guy that repeated it in 93 or so is another guy that they would like to have killed. But it's just a little a harbinger of what's happening now with epigenetics, because they're saying the same thing. Whoa, look at this. We're getting all this demethylation. All this bad stuff is happening when you heat the food up. And so I don't know if the big boys are going to keep supporting epigenetics, but it's coming to the same conclusions that were unfavorable a long time ago, and but are still true. So for your benefit, eliminating anything cooked over 212, and instead of saying, oh, my God, I have to give up my cake or give up this, when you do this negative garbage, it becomes torture. And maybe you can take torture for 6 months, or maybe you can take it for a year. Give yourself a new setting. The new setting is, I'm going to go on a food holiday. It's going to be fun. And I'll tell you who's going to have the most fun, your body. It's going to say, man, is this great. So if you have a dessert you love, like creme brulee, I love that. But it's cross-linked sugar. It's going to make you old and ugly in lightning speed. But could we make something very similar to that that's a raw food? And the answer is yes. And by using one of the really great secrets of the ancients, fermented raw food, you can get the taste. You can get the, I can give you a soup that will taste just like I boiled it, just like I cooked it. I can give you broccoli that tastes just like it was cooked, not a rock that you're going to break your teeth trying to eat and then have gas afterwards. No, something that really tastes good. But I haven't heated it to the boiling point or over. Okay, so it's going to become a relearn. But if you don't, then the best you can expect is what's happened to your mother and your grandmother. Every one of those problems, and maybe more, because the food is more toxic today than it was 50 years ago. So we have to take a hard look at how we prepare the food. Okay. Finally, fermented foods that are fermented at temperatures less than 120, and some people will argue over this. You know, some people are the fastidious, you shouldn't be over 105. I'm a chemist. Under 120, I can be out there and survive. If I can survive, the food can survive. Okay? So 120 is fine. Okay. This is one of the things that I think is going to change the quality of your life, having fermented raw foods. Okay, next we have to look at the source of the food. See, dairy and other food sources can vary astronomically in quality. And we really have to get back to some wonderful standard of quality. You know, there's an outfit here up in Northern California, Fresno, somewhere here, Organic Pastures. And they're outrageous prices, but they are doing everything perfect for milk. And here you can still get raw milk, okay? Now, to me, we should have raw milk all over the country, and we should demonstrate that we have risen to a very elegant level of biochemistry, that we could quickly screen the milk. So if there was brucellosis, which is what everybody worries about, and that's why we supposedly pasteurize the milk, not to kill you in 30 days like the calf, but to protect you, supposedly. Okay? Why don't we change back and do a brucellosis screen? The food we're getting is second-class food. Once they pasteurize that thing, forget homogenization. You got something that you may not even want to use for compost. So what about cheeses? Well, the interesting thing with cheese is that if I age it long enough, I really don't need to worry about whether it's raw or not, okay, or pasteurized, because the aging will kill off the organisms and will also convert the possible difficulty of lactose to healing sugars, galactose and glucose. So aged cheeses, especially coming from countries where they're not using weird hormones, can be a really good food. But remember, it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of cheese. And the purpose of milk is to make a calf go 6 times its weight in 1 year. So if you want 6 times your weight in 1 year, load up on the cheese. And is there a time of day we could eat cheese and not make ourselves overweight? Yes. I'll get into that in just a little bit. Okay. So unfortunately, one of the things we've done is confounded the food with the way we process it. And that's one of the things that's got to be, we have to reset this nonsense. And California is far more progressive than many of the other states. Okay, so how do we do this? Well, I've been doing this 40 years, and I've had some rough runs. I was poisoned with genetically modified tryptophan in 1988 and 89, and I was poisoned by a supplement that had genetically modified tryptophan. And it was probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I was ill for about 14 years. My hair went snow white. I was an excellent marathon runner before this happened. I could beat the fastest woman on earth. Not the fastest man. and I couldn't even walk 10 minutes after it happened. And I would say the study of the food and learning how to fuel this body has let me come back, and I run 8 miles every other day. And, you know, it's funny how you live. Before I was poisoned, I would say that if I thought I could never run again, I wouldn't want to continue living. And I still feel that way. But I got back to running. And I know many of you may think, wow, that's an absurd thing. Well, look around. You probably have a few absurd things yourself. But once you get out there and you go about 17 to 23 minutes and you go out of hemoglobin into ceruloplasm and you run like the wind, it's like everything's okay. You left. There's a tax debt, there's somebody coming, there's all this garbage. You come back, you're happy as a clam. I don't know anything legal that does that besides. So this is one of the reasons I'm highly motivated to learn this. So the biofield diet, and this is going to be an adventure. This is going to be a holiday for your body, not a difficult thing to do. And I've done this with more than 10,000 people, close to 12,000 people. And I've done this when the literature says 2% of the people who go on a diet and exercise will be able to lose and maintain their ideal weight, 2. And we have about 10,000 out of 12,000. So I think it's a little more than 2. But the technology you're about to see, the things we're doing, only now are the studies showing how this works. And you're going to see it very shortly. Okay, so the idea is a daily menu plan that outlines recommended list of foods that support well-designed, potentially ketogenic, so fat-burning if you need it. If you don't need it, it's cool. You can just maintain yourself. And you can readily find these foods. This is not some exotic diet you have to make all day long. It's not that difficult. So the goal is to keep the body predominantly in a short state of fasting every day. This may beneficially affect genetic expression. It will keep you to ideal weight. At this point in time, as of a 2011 study, we know that even 1 pound of excess body fat is an inflammatory episode which may lead to a chronic infection, which may lead to cancer. 1 pound. Now, we are an epidemic obese nation, but the people who look pretty good probably also carrying 1 pound. So what I'm saying is, you think, oh, I don't need any ketogenic stuff. I want you to take your clothes off and have a good look in the mirror. And if you got an extra pound somewhere, you do need the diet. Now, I'll grant you that just dieting will not eliminate certain types of weight because it's linked to the energy field that controls the body. So if you've had a scar or trauma that may sedate your adrenals, you may have extra weight at your abdomen. If you've had a C-section or a hysterectomy and it's affected the center line, it may also sedate the stomach. So no matter what you do, you can't seem to get rid of the stomach. If you've had an SI joint injury, you may have extra handlebar weight, whether you're male or female, because that very commonly can adversely affect the gonads, whether they're male or female. So we're not going to get every single, you're not going to look like Gina Lola Brigida at 19. You're going to have to do a lot more work than that. But this reminds me of buying a stereo. You know how to buy a stereo? I can buy a boom box like you see people carrying around for $30. But if I want it perfect so I can hear Mozart's best, I need to spend maybe $20,000 so I can have concert reproduction. Okay? So you get to pick, but this will give you the boom box. You at least get to play. Okay? And if you want more, you can get more. Okay? So, all right. So, the secret. There's several secrets here, but the first secret is body needs time to clean up the mess you made. That's basically it. You went out, you ate something, and that food has gone to your stomach. If you have hydrochloric acid, that's good. If you don't, it's going to be really bad if that was cooked food. In fact, in my opinion, the primary way in which Americans age and die is first mineral deficiency, and then failure of digestion. And the reason digestion fails is that you are constantly demanding hydrochloric acid to break down food that's been highly heated and all its enzymes have been destroyed. So when you eat that food, you need hydrochloric acid. The single most important supplement on the planet is hydrochloric acid. When you buy betaine hydrochloride, it's got a biochemical name. What's that name? Trimethylglycine. Ooh, the ultimate methyl donor. Oh, and what's epigenetics telling us? We're all demethylating, and every time you do that, you express possibly a cancer gene or a virus gene. So we need something to help us remethylate, the ultimate remethylator, betaine hydrochloride. Now, some of you, you're going to have a scar, a trauma in the front of your body, maybe you had a broken chin or a nose job or whatever, and you try to take HCL, you got burning. So obviously HCL isn't for you. Wrong. Obviously you got an interference field you got to fix so you can take that HCL. And if you don't, you get to choose. But your body gets to be seriously damaged. It is one of the most important things you'll ever use. So when you wake up in the morning, if you've got that 1 pound or more of extra body weight, you should be drinking 1 or 2 quarts of water and fasting for about 5 hours, okay? Now, many of you are older. You will not be able to do that. You will find it's too hard. So you may eat some low glycemic fruit, and it may take you 5 days to 5 weeks to be able to fast those 5 hours. Others of you may be doing super hard cardiovascular exercise, but I don't see a lot of you out there. If you're doing that, then within an hour, you need a high-protein, high-fat meal. But if you're not doing that, you don't, okay? And then you wait to noon to eat your main meal. And so by not eating any sweets, such as high glycemic fruits or honey, or carbohydrates until after 3 o'clock every day, you've switched the game. Now, I believe it's Coca-Cola, but I better double-check that, sponsored a study with police officers who ate donuts. And they took the guys who ate donuts, and they made sure they got the exact same number of donuts, but didn't let them have any in the morning, and they had to have them after 3 o'clock. So they had the same caloric intake of donuts, same drug, and it was a 28% fat loss. That study dramatically highlights when you wake up in the morning, whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, you're at maximum insulin resistance. By 3 o'clock, assuming you're waking up at about 7 o'clock, by 3 o'clock, you're at maximum insulin sensitivity. Oh, what's that mean? That means now I eat the carbohydrate, it goes into muscle, makes me strong. Eat it in the morning, may go to fat. Now, a child who's got a very high metabolic rate, probably eat, or a super athlete can eat that stuff in the morning, and it's not going to body fat. That's not America. Most of us have to go to work, sit on our butt. You know, I consider it a privilege just to be able to stand up instead of have to sit down all the time. And many times when I have a meeting, I stand up. I don't want to sit down anymore. So we need to get some movement. And if we're doing heavy exercise, if you build up to that, then you can, the body can handle more in the way of carbohydrate. But in my opinion, we should be working to have low glycemic fruit in the morning if you're going to have anything. And then in the afternoon, somewhere around 3 to about 7:30, now you could have a little wine. You could have a little carbohydrate of some time. You could have a starch. And now it's going to make you powerful. Okay? And now the studies are really coming around to show the tremendous importance of this as a way of eating and living. And once you get to this place, it's something you can do for a lifetime. It's not something that's going to get your weight down and then you go back to eating the way you did before and now you have a devil of a time. It's an eating program that'll work your whole life. My favorite case was a prison chaplain. Came to me, it was 726 pounds. He broke both of the new chairs in my office. And after he broke the first one, I said, please move very carefully in the other one. And he leaned on one side and he crushed that. So I had this interior decorator that I wasn't crazy about. And she said, what do you want? And I said, well, I want a chair that'll handle 750 pounds. So she had to search and search and search. And she found these blue leather chairs in Canada. And so we shipped them in and they've got five legs instead of four. And he could come and sit in that chair, but I, after 3 years, got him to 295 pounds, which is where he's been ever since. And he is my best success case. And I'm going to tell you that it was slow, it was agonizing. He would cheat from time to time because mommy gave you something or other, and you just love it. And you can't live without your chocolate or whatever it is. See? And so was he perfect on the diet? I would say that probably once a week he was breaking. And what I want to say to you guys, too, is once you have ideal weight, once a week, do whatever you want. So you never tell yourself, I gave up something. Because, see, that makes the food seem like, oh, this is bad. I don't really want this. See, you got to take a look at your psyche, because inside every one of us is a 16-year-old twit. And that twit takes everything you say literally. So if you're dumb enough to say, well, I'll try, the twit says, I don't have to do anything. I'm done. But if you tell the twit, today, we're having one or two quarts of water from 7 o'clock this morning till noon, and that's it. Oh. And the little guy inside says, okay, let's get the water. Let's do it. So work yourself. You need to work yourself. It's not going to be the easiest thing you did. You may start and fail. The hardest thing I've had to do is get people to begin this. Like, you know, everything in your life, every adventure, every person that you come to meet, there's a cycle of three things that have to happen. Romance, disillusionment, and if you keep going, joy. And that's going to happen in every relationship. And it's going to happen with this food. And so if you've got the power, you get to win. It's up to you. It's your choice. So all I want to do is give you a super choice. And this is the best I've been able to figure out in 40 years. So hopefully you can really use it, and it'll make a huge difference for you and your family. I don't want to live a long time where I can't see, I can't hear, and somebody's got to change my diaper. I live in Texas, and we have a wonderful saying there. And that saying is that it's better to be carried by 12, it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. So it means you learn how to take care of yourself, and you learn to be responsible for you. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Okay, so your dietary goal is to get a minimum. So now you guys don't want to just get by. The get by is 50% raw, and that's every meal. And at that time, also supporting best digestion and best intestinal function, and providing the body with at least some undamaged nutrients from every category for ideal repair. There's a very exciting study in 2007 that showed if I eat garbage oil and I eat a good oil, 100% of the time the body will take the good oil to make the repair job. But if I only eat junk and the body has to make a repair, it will use that oil to make the repair. So if you do go out and you get some trash, take a supplement of some DHA, some especially from microalgae. It's the best form. Okay, so here's a simple way to look at the food. Okay, whoops, we went too far. Morning, you're going to drink a couple of quarts of water. You can do other things to this water. But what I would do the first thing when you wake up is begin to learn about your first morning urine pH. You want to monitor this. It's a simple roll of pH paper. I'll show you one afterwards. Very simple. And you just pass it through the first morning urine stream. And you don't do it every day. If you've got a rotten tooth, it's always going to be acid. If you've got infection somewhere, it's always going to be acid. So once we get to a really good, ideal physiology, now you start monitoring it. And if the pH goes acid, you have a pre-pathology window to tell you something's wrong with that body. So before you're diseased, you can now figure it out and fix it. But what we do is we cruise till there's a disaster, and then we run and want somebody to fix that. That goes back to Humpty Dumpty. When he falls off that wall, boy, we're in trouble. But if we could just give him a couple of braces so he doesn't fall off, it'd be much better. So pH paper, monitoring that, getting it in the green zone, 6.4 to 7.0, and holding it there, that's a barometer of great health. I raised two children who never spent one day sick in bed, never saw a cavity, never knew pain like everybody in this room knows pain. And how'd I do that? The last Sunday of every month, I'd measure their height. And if they grew more than a half inch, my son is 6'4", I knew right away his pH would be acid. So I'd start monitoring, give him more minerals, and so he never got any tooth decay, and he grew really strong. Okay? And you can, it's a little late for all of us, but you can work to protect your mineral factory. Now, I want to give you a quick picture. I'll just give you a little biochemistry. I try not to make it too bad. Every single cell that your body makes is made by the bone. It's a B cell. And when it comes out, it's differentiated either white for immunity or red for energy. Okay? So if I've got a raging chronic infection, bad tooth, vaginal infection, digestive problem, I'm not digesting my food, there's more whites. I eat highly heated food and way more whites. So the reds go down, so now I'm sleepy after I eat. Okay? But where's that red or white coming from? It's coming from a turnover of minerals in the bone. So this is your fundamental, most important nutrient. And everybody in America is getting worse. The American Laboratory Association just reported 2 years ago that the first morning average urine pH in America has gone from 5.5 to 6.0 to 5.0 to 5.5. Now, that's an exponential scale. So that means a 50-fold decline in tissue oxygen. You think we're going to have more cancer? You think we're going to have more bone problems? We're going to have a disaster. And I don't know if you watch football at all, but you see these guys play. They look bigger, they look stronger, but they're like crepe paper. You hit them and they got the best equipment, and this busts or that busts. When we played ball, we didn't have the equipment they have, and hardly anything happened to us. And we got hit as hard or harder. So they're missing the minerals, and their body is so easily injured then. All right. So if you feel very hungry and you need to eat something in the morning, eat some low glycemic fruit till you can graduate and get good enough ketotic function and clean enough liver so you can make it to 5 hours. When you make it to 5 hours, the body gets to purify everything. It gets to see, when food is eaten, it goes from the small intestine through the hepatoportal artery into the liver. When the liver hits it and it's breaking it down, there's toxins. And there's famously phase one, phase two detoxification. As these toxins are removed, they're inserted into the bile. So the purpose of the bile is to excrete the toxin, to emulsify the fat, and precipitate the excess cholesterol. What we see clinically is everybody over 40 has got a gallbladder problem. Bile's not flowing so good. And you ladies, if you've had birth control pills for as little as 3 months, you may have B6 dependency. And I seem to be the only chemist who knows that vitamin B6 is what keeps cholesterol in suspension in the bile. So without it, you precipitate it. So now you have gallstones and you lose your gallbladder, and now your skin shrivels up like a prune, and you gain a lot of weight because you can't absorb the fats in the small intestine so well anymore. So you absorb them in the large intestine and store them as fat. Yuck. So why is that gallbladder getting such a mess? Highly heated food. Highly heated food. Sugar and white flour. Wow. Huh? What a mess. But let me tell you, the good news is coming. You will see that epigenetics will be driving this home way better than I am right now. I'm like a harbinger, though. So this is a very simple thing to do. So lunch, then, would be your high-fat, high-protein meal. How am I doing on time? What have I got? About 3 minutes? All right. So the most important thing, lunch would be your main meal. This is the absolute opposite of what we grew up with. I grew up with a giant meal when my father got home, whatever time that was. Okay, and my mother wouldn't let anybody eat till my father got home. Okay, now I'm telling you, if dad is late, eat. Let him be the only one screwed, okay? You got to make changes. But this is when the main meal should be consumed. And you may say, I'm not at home, I can't do it. Yeah, there's these super thermoses that are stainless steel, glass-lined. You can put some food you warmed up or you got ready to go, and 4 or 5 hours later, the sucker is still warm, ready to go, okay? So, no, you can do it. Okay, it's a holiday, remember. This is not, I don't want to hear why you... You know, when I work and we have a problem in the plant, I say, I don't want to hear why we can't do it. I want to hear how we can do it. And you need to say the same thing to yourself. Okay. So that's lunch. Sorry. So now we're going to go to the types of main protein. Well, this is very, very difficult. Here's some of the meats that can be eaten. To me, the New Zealand lamb and even locally produced lamb is probably the cleanest, safest of the meats to eat because you don't have the risk for parasites, infection that you would if you ate pork or even if you were to eat beef. So that's probably your safest, but how would you prepare this? Well, you take it out of the refrigerator so it warms up for 3 or 4 hours. And then you would just sear the outside to kill any pathogens, any salmonella, anything that's on the outside. And you're eating the inside pretty raw. So can we do this with pork? Probably not, because of trichinosis. Can we do this with beef? Probably not, because there are other parasites in the beef, even though we are very commonly consuming roast beef where the inside is very rare. There is a risk of parasite from that, and especially if it's a poorly raised animal. So if you can get something that's really well-raised, because grass-fed, it's a bit of a warm fuzzy, but it's not really a solution. They have ways to get around all these things. So less desirable red meat obviously is going to be, could be eaten, but this would be things like uncured Genoa salami. These would be organic, uncured bacons, and they've got lots of problems with pigs right now, so I'm not even sure that's going to be a thing you would do occasionally. Main proteins, the fish, small fish are very attractive, especially if the small fish aren't cooked to death, okay? So my favorite way to prepare the fish is to poach it, because if it's reached close to room temperature, and then I have a frying pan, a skillet with about 3 inches of water, I can bring the water to a simmer and then cook the fish so I kill anything on its surface. Now, some fish can have parasitic organisms as well, but those are going to be very easy to kill if you have hydrochloric acid, okay? Unlike some of the other guys, these are easy kills, okay? Okay, so the moral of the story with fish is the big guy bioaccumulates more mercury and all the other bad stuff than the little guy, so you eat the little guy, okay? All right, obviously, I love flounder. I like wild-caught salmon. I think these are good, but they may not be as ideal as some of the other sources. Obviously, shrimp, crab, lobster, you want to get a brand like Rock Shrimp or something where you know that they have consistent super quality control. But these are scavengers eating the poop of the other animals, of the other fish. So the mystery to me is how does that come out white after they do it? I haven't figured that one out yet, but they do it. And it sure tastes good, which is another scary thing. Okay, so poultry, this is a guy that we don't, we've popularized chicken, but duck would be much safer. Chicken, of course, you would have some, these strains of bacteria and viruses that they can live with and has no effect, but they might hurt you. So turkey and chicken are, it's kind of a crapshoot to eat. Maybe occasionally you would eat it. Most recommended would be none in the way of poultry. Duck eggs, much safer for you than chicken eggs. And, of course, duck itself, and it tastes so good, but you've got to cook the heck out of it. That's the bad part. So, okay. Eggs, obviously, the white would contain avidin, so we need to just cook an egg enough so the white's solid but the yolk is runny, okay? Otherwise, we're damaging the fatty acids, and it's not as desirable, okay? Raw fats. These are very critical for the skin, the hair, the whole body, and having a small amount of raw or cultured butters, this I think is going to be very beneficial, maybe 1 to 3 tablespoons, depending on how big you are. If you're a smaller person, less. And this, I think, is really an important player. The most recommended, of course, might be some organic raw cream, but this is not for someone struggling with their weight. This would be something for children, someone who's doing hard cardio exercise, because this guy is going to promote weight gain. But hopefully we can make it promote muscle weight gain, not body fat weight gain. Okay. Olive oil, if you can get very good quality, that's a very critical issue. Coconut oil. Now let's get to the nuts and seeds. This is an area that's really a challenge. And the reason it's a challenge is the little bugger that grew the nut or seed doesn't want to be eaten. He wants to protect himself from the potential predator. So what he does is he produces these anti-nutrients that will hurt the predator. Fortunately, most of the anti-nutrients in nuts and seeds are easily eliminated by soaking the nut or seed, an absolute minimum of 20 minutes. I like to soak them an hour or two, but, my cooking style is I come out, throw the thing in, and then whenever I get a minute, I come back, which might be the next day or 3 hours later or whenever I can do it. And every time I do it, I say, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could buy this someplace? So I didn't have to do it. But hopefully in these next 10, 20 years, we're going to see a renaissance And I think much of it will come as a result of epigenetics indicting each one of these food anti-nutrients and the other problems with the food. Okay. Obviously, the most preferred nuts, Brazil nuts, these are a reliable source of selenium, very hard to get in American food. Pecans, really good for the brain. Filberts, hazelnuts, wonderful nut. Almonds, you know, these are less preferred because the almonds now are being pasteurized. And if you are willing, you can buy almonds from Italy that come in here unpasteurized, but they're like twice the price. So I think you could hunt to a farmer's market if they don't have to pasteurize there, but otherwise it's really a problem. The cashews, of course, are steam separated in almost every case, so they're already partially rancid. These other nuts are, there's an issue with each of them. They're not ideal. Peanuts are not a nut. They're a legume, and they're one of the highest sources of mycotoxicosis. And for the first time, though, we have had a study on mycotoxins and the link to tumor forms of cancer, and we're finding that it may be a much bigger player in cancer than ever thought before. Mycotoxins could primarily come from peanuts and corn. And people eating the, TV dinners, these frozen garbage things, are loaded with usually some kind of a corn sweetener or corn oil and are very high in mycotoxin. So looking at corn chips, corn, almost anything, and they taste so good. Isn't that a bummer? It's really a bummer. Now, the bad part about mycotoxins, let's say you ate a lot of peanuts when you were a kid, and you stop, okay, and it's 20 years later. You still have the same or more mycotoxin load than you had the 20 years before. You got to find the antidote, and fortunately, there's a guy that's been working on that for many, many years, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but I'll move as fast as I can here. These are less desirable fats. You guys know you don't want, if you can't pronounce it, you don't want to eat it. That's the first rule, and you certainly don't want anything with a trans fat. I don't think you want anything that's been esterified somehow or other, and you don't want molecularly distilled oils either. One of the things they've showed with those is they can get rid of the mercury, and they can get EPA and DHA, but now you got a whole bunch of PCBs. Meanwhile, the oil, it's weird when you taste it. It doesn't taste good. I think the ultimate fatty acid supplement would be the microalgae DHA. It's clean. It's really well made. I use 5 or 10 of those every day. I think that's the best one. So if I do get a bad oil, the thing doesn't have a prayer. I've got enough good oil. The body is never going to choose it. And you will get some bad oil because you're going to have to eat something cooked, especially if you're going to travel around here. So, okay. So let's move on. Fermented foods, this is one of the most important things you will learn. And when you ferment a vegetable, you do not liberate the nanobacteria from the fiber. So it goes in one end, comes out the other. And we're finding these nanobacteria can mess up the heart, the circulatory tree, the pancreas, or the kidney. So go ahead. If you're going to eat highly cooked vegetables, then you better make sure you have hydrochloric acid to destroy that nanobacteria, or you're asking for one or more of those other problems. Okay. Vegetables, you're pretty much free on most vegetables. When I say free, the issue is whether it's of good quality. With a Brix meter, you'll be able to tell that. Whether it's contaminated, I'll show you an answer for that. Salad vegetables, and by the way, what I'm covering here, if you want this, you can email me, and we'll email you a list. I brought a card so that you can get the email off of it, and I'll put some cards out here. So you can get an email off, and you get a free copy of the diet, no charge. They'll email it back to you. So that you'll have all of this. You don't have to worry about writing it all down. Okay, so I'm going to go faster. Midday snack. One of the great things is if you could, if you exercise, say, at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and you exercise really hard, now you could have protein and carbohydrate and fat. You can have more. And you'll still be building muscle and not body fat. Okay. These are the high glycemic guys in the fruit, and these are the ones we've got to have a little caution with. Okay. Unless you don't have 1 pound or more of excess body fat. Yes, that's a joke. Okay, dinner. Now, dinner typically would be a lighter meal unless you're infected. If you've got an acid pH, you know, you've got an infected tooth, you've got a bowel infection, you've got something going on, you're going to need more protein. There's going to be more turnover. You can eat extra protein at this meal. Okay? And how do you know you're infected or you have a problem? Your morning urine pH is acid. Okay? You're taking minerals, your morning pH went acid, you know you got a problem. And it's a wonderful pre-pathology opportunity for you before it's a disaster. And if you find this in a kid, you can prevent the tooth decay. You can get the minerals up. Now, tooth decay is not just minerals. It's obviously the mouth bacterial ecology. But today there is an easy solution for that. There's a supplement that is Lactobacillus salivaris, which is the one that competes with the carry and inhibits its ability to eat the tooth. Very nice discovery. Okay, so the dinner. One of the things you want to learn, too, is if you screwed up and you get home at 9 o'clock and you're hungry, it's time to drink some water and go to bed. No American has ever died from missing one meal. Okay, but otherwise, you're just going to make yourself weak, toxic, and sick. Because when you go to sleep, the blood is withdrawn from the digestive organs. It goes to the musculature. So your food sits there rotting. Now, by the time it gets to the large intestine, it's now being absorbed and stored as fat. So you don't want to do that. After 9 o'clock, it's ixnay. If you're going to bed at 11 or 12, you can't eat. And you can violate the rule, but just watch what happens to your body. It's a disaster. Okay. So these are optional things you'll get to see. What I want to get to now is just a couple of key things. Alcohol is the most age-accelerating compound on the planet. Very small amounts can be beneficial. And wines, especially in here, you guys have wines that we don't get anywhere else. You can buy unpasteurized wine. We only get trash pasteurized wine. Although Texas is in a revolution, we're starting our own little wineries. We bring in a slurry of grapes from you guys, frozen, and we ferment our own unpasteurized wine. And, of course, there's all these laws. You can only sell it here. You get, you know, but it's just becoming a revolution. And the pasteurized beers, all the big guys are going down because this beer place is coming up. So we're actually going back to real food. And small amounts of these things are beneficial. And when I say small amounts, let's define that. Never more than 2 glasses of wine, especially you 100-pound ladies, okay? Never more than 2 beers. As soon as you do that, you're now destroying brain cells. You're really altering your whole metabolism. You can do whatever you want to do, but it's destructive, okay? And I would say that for most people that are under, say, 150 pounds, a glass of wine, that's the way to go. And when you get an organic, unpasteurized wine, it's going to be real expensive, so you only want to drink 1 glass. All right. So refined sugar, I've hit that hard. But one of the things that most people miss is this high fructose corn syrup. This even tops sugar as being super bad for the body. You don't want to eat anything that's got that garbage. Okay. Now, prepared foods, we mentioned that. Okay. Cheeses, I promised you I'd tell you this. See, a cheese is going to have high fat, high protein, high carbohydrate. So there's only one time you can eat that without being a porker, and that is dinner time. Okay? And it should be a culinary enhancer of the food, not 4 gillion pounds of cheese from some pizza thing. Okay? It's a taste. It gives a salad a really good taste. It's not to be eaten in large amounts unless you want to be very large. Then I recommend you eat it that way. It definitely works. Okay. All right. I'm going to skip over this. Where I want to go now is just cover a little bit. We covered selenium. I want to talk about the antidote to persistent organic pollutants. And that is the lifetime work of a Dr. Tim Phillips. And what he did was study calcium aluminum silicate. This is a form of bentonite, most of which is sodium aluminum silicate. And this will trap up to 98% of all toxins, but it will in particular trap the glyphosate. So it's a wonderful antidote to the junk that's coming in the food. The eyes, the diet does not provide. The age-related macular degeneration study with more than 14,000 people showed that no one gets enough zeaxanthin or lutein in the diet to have good vision throughout your life. So they pretty much said that they've concluded you need a minimum of 4,000 micrograms a day, and that the average American between 30 and 50 was getting 1,200, and the elderly were getting 750. But if you were to take maybe three or four capsules that have 8,000 or 9,000 micrograms in a week, you would have enough and you could protect your children and protect your vision. So you don't need tons of supplementation here, but there's no hope that our food is going to cover this. The AMD study was very definitive. Minerals, all of you have to have a mineral supplement. That's all there is to it. Magnesium, this is one of the guys that really promotes body fat loss. Over 50 genes are favorably affected to drop body fat. So during the goal of losing a lot of body fat, let's say you're 20 pounds or more over, going on 500 milligrams of magnesium, maybe even 1,000 milligrams spread through the day, can have a very profound effect on accelerating weight loss and then tapering down after you get your weight close to the ideal weight. Okay. Antioxidants, there is no way our food, there's been a 50% decline as measured in 2005 versus 1980 in the antioxidant literature of American food. So you must take an antioxidant unless you like being feeble, ugly, and beat. Then don't take it. And the most important thing of all, the single most important supplement on the planet, hydrochloric acid and pancreatic enzymes, ultimate methyl donor, change the game. Anything you eat over 120 degrees needs hydrochloric acid and needs pepsin and needs pancreatic enzymes. When you do this, I believe that you can see a profound change. There was a study in Medical Hypothesis 1998, and it showed when I eat cooked food, I lose 1,800 methyl groups per day per cell. When I eat raw food, I lose 1,200. So the simple act of cooked food without a digestant will squander at least a third of your lifespan. So if that's okay with you, don't take HCL and digest. Don't take HCL and pancreatic enzymes. Okay. The payoff. Simple steps that can mean many years of great health and an opportunity to look almost as good at 70 as you did at 40. Who doesn't want that? And that's being stolen from us. It's just terrible. So it's my hope this diet will be a great help to each of you and your families. That's where I want to go and what I want to do, and thank you all for spending a little time in my world.
I'm curious if you have a recommendation for a particular amount of protein on average per day in terms of milligrams?
Well, there are three issues there. Protein, first thing to remember, if there's no infection in the body, then the amino acid pool, protein, only needs to be repleted every 72 hours, every 3 days. That's the minimum, okay? Now, if I go beyond that, I begin to start what's called protein missynthesis. So that's an age-accelerating process. So it's a good idea to have some protein every day. Now, the maximum that I would consider having would be 1 gram per kilogram of body weight. That's the maximum. Almost everyone in America overeats protein. Okay? That's your maximum. Now, if you're sedentary, you may get by with half of that. So it's somewhere between that and half of that if you're not doing hard exercise. Okay? Anybody else?
You mentioned briefly.
I'm so sorry. We'll get to you in 1 second. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You mentioned briefly that you build up microtoxins in your body from the corn that you eat.
Yes.
That you eat, and then you mentioned that you're going to discuss an antidote, and I don't think you ever covered that.
The antidote to that is Dr. Tim Phillips' 20 years of work. You can go out on, you can look up his work on PubMed.org, and you can also, I think there's a website, yourclay.com, something like that. Where all of his studies are there, all 20 years, a whole bunch of the studies. And mainly in the beginning, the clay was used to save animals that had been fed contaminated corn, and they were dying. And also it's currently used to clean up the milk of cows that have been fed corn that's too high in mycotoxin. And by feeding the clay to the animal, the mycotoxin level comes down, and now they can sell the milk. Okay? That was done since 1950. Around 20 years ago, they started looking at what this does in a human. The first cancer study was published November 2013. So we're just really starting to say, hey, let's take a look at this for humans. But it traps only the calcium form of bentonite, but it traps dicarbonyl groups, one of which is glyphosate. That's the GMO bad guy. So that's a very exciting antidote.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
You mentioned some supplement. This is two parts. Supplement if you have like a tooth infection to get rid of it.
That's No. What we were talking about, I mentioned a supplement that could prevent tooth decay. And that would be a probiotic organism, Lactobacillus salivaris, which has studies to show that it can inhibit caries formation.
Okay, and the other question was, are there any cheeses you can use as a protein?
Are there any what?
Cheeses. I'm a big cheese eater.
Well, cheeses, excellent protein. Excellent protein. The real question you want to ask me is, could it be a hormone storm? Would BST survive pasteurization? The answer is yes. And yes, it can be a hormone storm. So if I were you and you're just in love with cheese, I would only eat 2 to 5 year age cheese like Black Diamond. I would get the cheese out of this country like Kerrygold from Ireland. I'd get it from Australia where they're not using any weird hormones. They don't feed any weird junk. And now you get the cleanest cheese in town. But boy, are you going to pay for it. And it have a nice day. But you can buy it, okay? And what I like about that is I buy Black Diamond, and I eat just a little bit because the darn thing cost me $20, okay? Anybody else?
Yes, thank you. I'm vegetarian, and, you know, you mentioned a lot of meat and fish, so... and I do get frozen burritos and veggie burgers, for instance, which is all has to be cooked in a toaster oven, so I don't know how bad that is. And I'm eating less, very seldom cheese, but I'm eating like vegan rice cheese often. I don't know what you think.
I was a vegetarian for 11 years very strictly, and I think it damaged my body very extensively. And the tragedy of being a vegetarian in this country is you're eating an empty harvest. You're eating a mineral-deficient, chemotoxin-laden vegetable. When they grow the vegetable, even if it's organic, it may be grown with NPK, synthetic fertilizer. If it's not organic, it may have organophosphates, organochlorides, all manner of chemicals. And the minerals are just terrible. If I were you and you wish to persist, I would begin growing most of my own vegetables. These frozen things that you heat up, these are distant second-class food. You're going to be weak. You're going to have difficulty with immunity. You're going to have a B12 challenge. There's a whole bunch of things. Now, there are supplements for B12 that are methylated. So methylated cobalamin, you can do that and overcome that problem. But getting past the garbage food is very difficult. And these frozen things, they're usually distant second class. So I can't tell you that's the way I would do it, but protein, I easily did protein. I used nuts and seeds. I used beans and rice. I figured out a way to cook the rice pretty much raw. In other words, I would bring water to a boil, throw the rice in and let it sit. Then I'd bring that water to a simmer, but not cook it, and then let it sit again. And I could take the rice, and it would taste like cooked, but the field of that rice was just like raw. So I can give you beans and rice, and you got complete protein. I can give you nuts and seeds. I would encourage you to grow figs. I can get past everything. It's just a lot of work, and it really gets tiring. You can't buy much because it's grown so poorly. Okay? It's a real tough challenge.
Agri-water
is using an herb, agrimony, which is... see, when you look at water, the answers for water for years was distilled. Unfortunately, distilled is defeated by people like me. My first job that I was offered was to make sex attractants for insects, and I loved the idea. But then the drug company, by the way, all insecticides are produced by drug companies. The drug company decided it would lose too much in the way of its pesticide business, so it canceled it, and so they canceled my job. So I didn't want to go make pesticides, so I had to find myself another occupation. And I can tell you that the organophosphates and organochlorides are the same vapor pressure as water. So they come directly across in steam distillation. So if you really want perfect water, you need to take purified water, which now has an energetic dirty signature, and then distill that. And now you've got the water of the gods. Okay, and when you're eating the way you're eating, you need every edge that you can get. Okay? Anybody else have a question?
You mentioned various recipes for free.
Oh, yes. If you email for the Biofield diet, you could request the fermented recipes as well. Okay? If you need more of those, I got more.
Yeah, there were, I think you mentioned four different
recipes.
Oh, there's
recipes. Several. There's we probably have about 10, 12 recipes over there.
Right, thank you.
Do I need more cards? Yes.
Yeah. So what are we supposed to, the premier?
If you contact numbers and ask them what for the recipes.
Oh, that's what he suggested. I'm sorry, you need to, yeah.
Oh, we're closing up.
Okay, we're closing
up.
We
can talk informally outside.
Okay. Sorry, I'm coming over.
No. We were conscious of it. We agree. Yeah. Many thanks, Dr. Marshall, for your presentation. We also thank our audience as well as those listening to the recording. And now, the meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 111th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.